Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Up, beautiful people. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is February 2, 2021, and I really hope you guys are having a great start to your week. Temperatures much warmer than they have been these last few weeks here in mid-Michigan. We're seeing highs today in the upper 30s. It's going to hit the 40s later on this week, and in comparison to what we've experienced so far throughout this winter, oh boy, that feels like you're sitting in Trinidad and Tobago on a tropical island, right? Hope you guys are well, though. Got a great show coming your way. I will be previewing the Michigan State and Illinois matchup tonight as Illinois comes to East Lansing to try and move that incredible win streak of 7 straight games to number 8. Michigan State, on the other hand, is trying to move into some kind of win streak after beating Indiana over the weekend. And as we all know, that the card is certainly stacked against Michigan State right now as we are in the final home stretch of the Big Ten season prior to the start, of course, the Big Ten tournament. And we know that the chances of Michigan State making the tournament are very, very slim. And they play an Illinois team, folks, that is really good. How good, you ask? Well, the Fighting Illini are actually the number 5 team in the nation. Such an impressive season. Again, that 7-game win streak is among the hottest streaks in all of college basketball. And they are now just a half game in back of Michigan, so you better know that there is a lot of motivation for the Fighting Illini right now if they want to keep pace in possibly winning the Big Ten as a whole. So I am going to preview that matchup. You will also hear what Tom Izzo had to say about his team during yesterday's pre-Illinois press conference. And, you know, Tom was asked right off rip when it was, you know, time for, you know, after he makes his opening statement, when it was time for questions to be asked, you know, he was asked right off rip by our dear friend Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press, what kind of talks has he had with his team concerning making the Big Dance and what they must do in order to make the NCAA tournament. And Tom had a bit of a surprising answer, in my view, at least. So you'll get my thoughts on what he had to say concerning that, and you'll hear from Tom Izzo later on this hour. And I also want to touch upon, you know, the NFL franchise tag period right now, because there's just a lot of conversation centered around so many big names in the NFL. And yes, that does include my guy, Dak Prescott, who, you know, it looks like right now a long-term deal is not going to get done. And it looks as though Dak is going to get franchise tagged again, and discussions in the offseason are going to take place. And if he plays well this upcoming year, you got to give him a long-term deal. I really want to see Dak Prescott in a long-term deal for my Cowboys, all right? But my team aside, I want to talk about your team as well, because there is a pretty big name for the Honolulu Blue that Dan Campbell and company had to debate about, whether or not to keep him around, give him a long-term deal, or franchise tag him. And I'll tell you who that player is in just a moment. All right? But a big, big show coming your way. If you would like to be a part of it, you know, hey, call in. Don't just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show, which I love when you guys do that, of course. I love when you guys tune in. But I love to hear from you. I mean, you guys have been like a church choir, you know, during, you know, the sermon portion. Just not saying nothing. I can't even get an amen from you guys sometimes, all right? So, hey, give me an amen. Give me a shout. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail there. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can weigh in there as well. And you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next, though. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, and let's start here again. Michigan State and Illinois will get it on tonight, 7 p.m. inside of the Breslin Center on Fox Sports 1. Michigan State 11-9 overall, 5-9 in the Big Ten, unranked, as we all know. The Spartans are number 90 in the net rankings, and that's the metric that helps determine the NCAA tournament field. So Michigan State has not made it back to the bubble. If they do beat Illinois, which is the number 5 team in the nation, we'll see if any of that jazz in conversation changes. But the Fighting Illini are a really good team. You know, anytime you are ranked in the top 5 nationally, yeah, you better believe you are a very, very good team. Illinois is 16-5 overall, 12-3, and ranked number 5 in both the Associated Press and Coaches Poll. The Illini are number 4 in the net rankings. So we'll see what happens tonight. I'll be previewing that matchup in a matter of minutes. Don't go anywhere. Also want to let you guys know that athletes in spring sports will be able to officially begin their seasons in a month. The Michigan High School Athletic Association announced yesterday that the start date for spring sports will be March 22nd. Now, that date is a week later than the originally scheduled start date. Competitions will be allowed to begin as early as March 26th. So keep that in mind, high school sports fans and parents. The MHSAA Representative Council approved the later start to alleviate the pressures on indoor facility usage and athletes changing seasons, with winter sports concluding up to 2 weeks later than normal due to COVID-19 delaying sports. Now, a survey of MHSAA member high schools featured a 74% approval of a delay in spring sports activity, which factored into the decision to push things back a week. So a lot of people were in favor of this move to push things back a week. Again, it just makes things easier as far as usage of different facilities, and just makes things, you know, very easy for a lot of different people. So not a big deal there. Now, I do want to note that the state tournament dates for all spring sports will remain as originally scheduled. So no change there, folks. All right. The Detroit Pistons and the Detroit Red Wings are both in action tonight. The Pistons are on the road playing the Orlando Magic at 7 p.m. And the Winged Will will play host to the Nashville Predators tonight at 7:30 p.m. So you got some Detroit pro sports in action tonight there. And we'll let you guys know about the Detroit Lions possibly franchise tagging a pretty big name. that name being, well, wide receiver Kenny Galladay, folks. The Lions have a major decision to make with their Pro Bowl wide receiver, who missed 11 games last season because of a hammy injury and hip injuries as well. So a hamstring and hip injuries. Galladay, who is 27 years old, he appeared to be a candidate for a long-term deal under the previous regime, but that never materialized. Now that the Lions are in a rebuild under a new head coach and GM combo and Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, the franchise has to decide whether to sign Galladay to a long-term extension. Should they or should they not? That is the question. I would give Galladay the money. I think he's proven to be a major factor for this Detroit Lions offense. And frankly, Jared Goff is going to need all of the help he can get come next season. So, hey, we'll see what happens. But again, I think there's the majority of Lions fans out there who believe that, hey, we want the Lions to be crap next season so that we can continue to draft high and, you know, continue to surround Jared Goff or whatever quarterback they draft this year in the NFL draft. Let's hope, right, Lions fans? But they don't even really need to. Let's be real here. They don't really need to draft a quarterback in this year's draft. But if they do, I'm not complaining. You know, they have so many picks coming to them, man. That's called draft capital, folks. Draft capital. So we'll see what they do with Kenny Galladay. I think he deserves the money. He's a fantastic player. Again, he's a Pro Bowl wide receiver. Pay the man. All right, more NFL news. This coming from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin, he confirmed yesterday that he has contracted COVID-19. The 48-year-old Pittsburgh Steelers head coach responded to earlier reports of his diagnosis in a tweet. He wrote that he is in good health and that his symptoms are minimal. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport initially reported Tomlin's diagnosis. The Steelers declined to confirm the report, but did tell the NFL Network that staffers were sent home from the team facility last week after multiple coronavirus tests came back positive. So there is a bit of an outbreak within the Pittsburgh Steelers organization that has obviously impacted head coach Mike Tomlin. All right, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can join the show. Would love to hear from you guys. Call in, leave us a voicemail. I want to hear your voice, folks. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You know, a few things you can weigh in, just looking at those headliners. Should the Lions franchise tag Kenny Galladay? What are your thoughts on the Michigan State men's basketball season thus far? And do you believe that they will top the Illinois Fighting Illini tonight? And if they do, let's just kick around a scenario here. If they do tackle Goliath tonight, are they back on the bubble? Multiple things you can weigh in, folks. So call that number, leave us a voicemail. You can go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll dive into a preview of Illinois at MSU. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Big, 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 big game. Well, they're all big from this point out, right, for Michigan State men's basketball. But, you know, you can really feel it right now. Spartan fans are trying to stay as positive as possible and are feeling a small high coming off that win, 7-point victory over the weekend against Indiana. And now you play the number 5 team in the nation in Illinois. And it just speaks volumes to just how good this conference is, right? I mean, there's no doubt about it. The Big Ten is the best college basketball conference in the nation. There are no days off. It's a gauntlet. You look at Michigan State's schedule moving forward, and you play you know, three of the top five teams in the nation in Illinois tonight, Ohio State coming up. You got Michigan coming up as well. I mean, those are all three teams that are highly revered. So it will not be easy. It will not be easy. And, you know, obviously, if Michigan State wants to have a chance at making the tournament and booking a ticket, they need to win out. But that's going to be very, very tough. And the likelihood of that, but you never know. Hey, maybe Tom Izzo can pull off some unbelievable magic. I think that if Tom Izzo and Michigan State were to win out and somehow make the tournament, I won't even say win out. If they happen to make the tournament, period, and let's say they don't win out this year, but they go to the Big Ten tournament and run the table, if Michigan State finds a way to get into the Big Dance this season, it will be the greatest coaching accomplishment in the history of Tom Izzo's tenure since probably the national championship win in 2000. That's how great it would be. I won't say it'll be greater than the national championship accomplishment because we all know how tough it is winning a natty, all right? And Michigan State hasn't won one since that, just to show you how tough it is. But this is a pretty big feat to get this group of players in the tournament with the way they've been playing. We'll see. Now, Illinois. You know, Illinois came into this season with very high preseason expectations. We kind of saw this coming in a way when it comes to the Fighting Illini. The Associated Press ranked Illinois as the eighth best team in the country in the preseason polls, while the USA Today coaches poll placed them at 10th in the country. And then you talk about players like Ayo Dosunmu, who also came into the season with extremely high hopes. He was placed on the All-American list before the season began. And then they bring back four of their five starters from last season. You got freshie Adam Miller. He's the only new addition filling in at the two-guard spot. And including Miller, there are three freshmen that are in the rotation right now for Illinois, which shows you how well they've recruited recently as well. But, you know, on offense, they're led by Dosunmu and Kofi Cockburn. Then you got, you know, Miller alongside Trent Frazier. And then defensively, you know, that four-guard lineup that they have, they just are so flexible. So flexible. And, you know, Dosunmu is the guy. I mean, he is the star of this team. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it right now. He's so good that he is in the running for National Player of the Year. And he has been for much of this season. You know, he is the lead guard, a great defensive player. And he's averaging 21 per game through 21 games. He's improved on his shot as well. He's shooting well from deep and at the free throw line. I mean, this dude is shooting 42% from deep. He's got four 30-point games this season as well. He's got five games with double-digit rebounds? Man. And then he's coming off a game against Minnesota in which he posted a triple-double. Wow. I mean, he is the guy. I don't know if Michigan State has a player that can slow him down. It's going to take a collective effort, I believe. When you talk about a player of this talent, and we all know, man, when Michigan State plays stars, they have a tendency to shine. Those stars really do shine. I don't know what it is, man. They just have great games. Even if Michigan State wins and dominates most of the game, The stars who are the stars in the opposition, they have great games usually. You know, I was just thinking back to, you know, I don't know if you guys, you know, for all my NBA fans out there, those who watch the NBA know that Anthony Edwards, former Georgia guard, had one of the greatest dunks, not just of the NBA year, but probably of all time. I don't even know who is the player that he crammed on, but man, it was sick. If you just want to see something special, just type in Anthony Edwards dunk in your Google search bar and just enjoy it. But Anthony Edwards, if you remember, he went to Georgia, and he played against Michigan State, I want to say like maybe two seasons ago. And remember, he went off for like 37, something like that. But 33 of those points were scored in the second half. And Michigan State still won the game, but he went off. Just completely went off. You know, I remember Michigan State in the Duke battles, you know, right? Where Michigan State lost most of those battles. I mean, Duke is still a team that gives Tom Izzo trouble, even though he's had some recent success against his team, including a win this season. But, you know, I have flashbacks to, you know, Grayson Allen, who used to go off against Michigan State. You know, Victor Oladipo for Indiana. Michigan State won a few of those wars, but Victor would just go off. I don't know. It's just something about the stars, man. This year, more so, the big men have been getting off for you know, the opposition that Michigan State has faced. You know, Trace Jackson Davis, Travion Williams, Luka Garza. Luka does that against everybody. But, you know, Michigan State has a problem with guarding the paint right now because they just don't have great big men this year. But maybe, you know, when it comes to Ayo Dosunmu, I don't know. He's a tough, tough player. Maybe you match up Rocket on him. I think Rocket and Aaron Henry. There's no thinking here. Rocket and Aaron Henry are the two best guard defenders on this Michigan State men's basketball team. And I think we'll see a lot of Aaron Henry on him. It's going to be a battle of the two stars between Ayo Dosunmu and Aaron Henry. And that's going to be fun to watch because Aaron Henry is coming off one of his best games ever in a green and white jersey. But there's so many other players you have to worry about. It's not just the AO show. You know, I mentioned all of the other players who also contribute to this team. You know, especially, you know, Kofi Cockburn. Cockburn is a great, great player. Great, great player. 7 feet, a load to handle. He may go off for Illinois as well. So, I don't know, man. Brad Underwood has an amazing, amazing team. And, you know, Michigan State is going to have its hands full tonight. For Michigan State, Aaron Henry has to be Aaron Henry, meaning that he has to be the star that we all know he is. He has to be the player that we saw against Indiana in which he tied a career high. He played all 40 minutes. He's going to have to be the Superman because right now Michigan State throughout much of the year has not had that kind of player and they have needed that kind of player. They have had that kind of player in recent history. For the past 4 years, that player was Cassius Winston. When nobody else could hit a bucket, you knew that Cassius Winston could take that basketball and do magical things. And that's who Aaron Henry must be. Surrounding Aaron Henry, other guys got to step up. I've already called out Rocket Watts multiple times throughout this season because we all know that Rocket has performed below those very high expectations that we have for him coming into East Lansing. He woke up in the last game against Indiana, but consistency is the rule. He's got to show up. Joshua Langford, he had a great game against Indiana, and I think all of the excuses are out the window right now. No more, especially around this time of the year, do I want to hear about Joshua Langford's injuries. Does that sound harsh? Eh, so be it. But he's moving fine. He hasn't had any scares this season. And he can knock down that patented 15-foot jumper of his. He is fine. We need more from Joshua Langford. Gabe Brown. I mean, goodness. He rose from the dead against Indiana, didn't he? There's a lot of players who woke up against Indiana. I don't know what it was. You know, maybe it's, you know, they're feeling just how immense this situation is right now and they really want to make the tournament. Or maybe they're like, hey, man, we ain't got nothing to lose at this point. We've lost a lot of games. We are playing carefree. Let me stop overthinking and go out there and just play the game of basketball. It could be one of those two things in my view. And then the big men are going to have to be big tonight because Kofi Cockburn is going to be a problem. Marcus Bingham Jr., Mati Sizoko, Julius Marble, those guys have to show up. If you got to double team them, double team them, but don't just let him dominate you down there. No. So, goodness. I expect, I know you don't want to hear the Spartan fans, but I always keep it 1,000 on here. I expect Illinois to pull through without much of a fight in this game. I just think that Illinois is just, it's just not even close. You know, you look at Illinois and how they've been playing and the talent on that team, and you compare it to how this year has gone for Michigan State. Sure, it was a great win against Indiana, but I don't want to make too much of it. It could get ugly tonight. I'll say that. I hope Michigan State proves me wrong, but it could get really, really ugly, folks. What say you? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, facebook.com/WKAR News, and hop on Twitter at WKAR News or at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet us that way. Leave us a comment on Facebook or give us a call and leave us a voicemail. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, you'll hear what head coach Tom Izzo has to say about tonight's matchup. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Folks, you just heard in segment B my thoughts on the Michigan State men's basketball matchup tonight at home inside the Breslin Center. Michigan State playing host to Illinois. I think we are expected to see at least some parents in the stands here, you know, which will help brighten up the atmosphere at the Breslin, and it won't be, you know, so quiet. You know, even though they do pump in the crowd sound and noise, you know, when it comes to the entertainment system at the Breslin. But still, you want to see some physical bodies there, right? So I want to play for you what Tom Izzo had to say during his pre-Illinois press conference yesterday. Here is Coach Tom Izzo.
All right, so I'm going to start. You know, first of all, as always, you know, you win a game, you feel better than when you lose a game. And I think after Saturday, you know, the way we won it, how we played, it wasn't just winning a game. I thought we played like we'd hoped to play. You know, two of the best players played really well. Aaron was, I thought, unbelievable. And I thought Josh was really every bit as good, just in different ways. You know, his rebounding, his defense, his leadership. Times he played the point. Aaron was phenomenal with his defense also, but
in the summer,
his aggressiveness, I enjoyed the way he played. Sorry, some of you guys aren't muted. But he did carry us Saturday as far as that goes, but that's what third and fourth year guys are supposed to do. So I look at it that we're going to need that and more in the next 2 weeks. As everybody knows, we're going to have six games in 13 days. It is more than an NBA schedule. The way I look at it right now, at least from the latest, which I don't know, since half the teams haven't played half the games. But if you look at it from what I've seen, all six teams are in. And, of course, four are ranked in the top five in the country or six in the country. Illinois is clearly one of the best of those teams in our league and in the country. They lost a couple games early, I think, to Baylor, who's really good. They're coming off an impressive win at Minnesota where they won by 30. They've been on a roll. They've won seven games in a row. You know, I think them and Michigan have a incredible streak going. Aho and Kofi are two of the best players in the league. You start to see Aho is getting a, you know, trying to catch the superstar from Iowa. I don't know if that'll happen or not, but at least he's among the leaders in scoring, and Kofi leads the Big Ten in rebounding. They also have very good shooters in Frazier and Miller, so they can beat you a lot of different ways. I think one of the ways is they turn you over a lot, and I think against some of those kind of teams we've been better lately. But we're going to need a big performance out of our best players. I think if this team's going to really take a step forward, we still need to get more out of Joey. We still need to get more out of Malik, and we're working on that. Foster, again, will not play in this game. You know, not a lot better as of yesterday, but, you know, keep hoping for later on in the week to get him back. And other than that, we're excited. You know, you got an opportunity. I mean, it's strange because we play so many teams that are ranked. I mean, I've gone a whole season playing two ranked teams in the Big Ten. Now we're going to play four in a week and a half. But I think the other strange thing is we're playing some teams for the first time. Illinois for the first time this late. Maryland for the first time this late. You know, Michigan for the first time this late. And so it's going to be a hellacious couple of days with, you know, prep today, game tomorrow, prep on Wednesday, game Thursday, prep Friday, travel Saturday, play Sunday, and then the same routine. But it's also an incredible opportunity. And so we're going to look at it as the second one, that it's an incredible opportunity, and see what we can do with it.
We'll go first to Chris Solari.
Tom, with that, how do you keep these guys focused maybe on the small picture versus the big picture with that? And do you treat this at this point like one and done time in some ways?
No, that wouldn't happen here. It'd be like I should stand up here like, what's the name, dead playoffs? You know, like, are you crazy? There is no way that anybody will understand. There will not be any pressure put on these guys. They've had enough pressure put on them all year. It's going to be the Illinois game. I have in my mind, I talked to them 2 weeks ago about what I think has to happen to have a chance to get in. But as I say that, who knows what's going to happen? Who's going to get COVID? Who's going to play games? I see some teams they're putting in because they win a game. You know, I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen. So I'm sure as hell not worried about that right now. And I think that would be unfair because we have no clue. You know, it's not 18 games or 19 games like it was some year. It's not, you know, 20 games like it was back 8 years ago. You know, if you got to then, you'd be in. All I know is we got a lot of work to do. We won a game. We have great opportunities. And to be honest with you, Chris, that's what I'm focusing everything on, because these guys have been through so much this year that, you know, we talked about situations. We talked about don't worry about streaks and this and that. It's not that kind of a season that you can do that. And so what I'm talking about is Illinois, opportunity to win a game. If we win a game, we'll constantly reassess where we are.
We'll go next to Lindsey Huddleston.
Hey, Tom. Kind of dealing with the broader question that we've been having over time about coaching this generation of athletes, how do you come off a win in Indiana that you want to celebrate, but also keeping expectations that, hey, this is what we're supposed to do? How do you kind of emphasize that to your team right now, but just in general with this next generation of athletes?
Yeah, it's as you know, there's so much of what did you do for me today in this generation, and it's a very good question that I don't really have a great answer for during this COVID time, because I think, you know, we haven't learned how to deal with it yet. But what I'm dealing with is we won a game. Here at Michigan State, you're supposed to win games. Let's learn from why we won the game. Were we more connected? Did we move the ball better? Did we play a little better defense? Did Indiana play worse? Let's look at why we won the game. And when we did that, we found a lot of positive things we did. But making shots was one of them. You know, Gabe hits four. Aaron makes shots. So when you make shots, a lot of good things happen. But I did not come back. We did not celebrate because there's nothing to celebrate. But we did. We just talked to them. You know, like I said, they've been through a lot. I understand that. And my approach has been completely different than a lot of years. And I still say that when you go through it during the season like we did and never know how certain guys are coming back. I mentioned it that I watched North Carolina and Louisville to my staff. And Louisville, I think, was the best defensive team in that league. And they gave up 99 points, you know, after a week of coming off COVID. And that's the parts, Lindsey, that I don't know if anybody knows, because it's different for each kid. So I'm just still trying to focus on let's get better as a team. Yeah, we're changing the lineup. Yeah, we're still looking to get better. You know what? That's the way it is. It's just the way it is. I can't apologize for it, nor can I condemn them for it. It's the reality of what we're going through. And you know, what I said to you last week and a week before was so true. We practice good. We practice like a team that has given up on themselves. That's encouraging. I could use that statement when I got back to the locker room. You played like you practiced. None more so than Rocket Watts. He had two of the best practices he's had since he's been here. And I mean, really good. The 2 days before, it was, you know, it prompted everybody to say, wow. And so that's encouraging. And we're just going to try to build on it.
We'll go next to Justin Rose.
I'm trying not to be repetitive here with this, but 56 points in the second half, you know, and when you guys lost that game to Purdue, they seemed to go on a run after kind of that victory. Do you see this team maybe looking at that second half in particular, knowing that what they're capable of doing offensively, and hope that maybe this springboards you guys into the next 2 weeks, which obviously are pretty important?
Yeah, I mean, you hope so. I mean, making shots, though, you know, effort-related things is different than making shots. I mean, there's not a player I coached in my 26 years that ever wanted to miss a shot. There's guys that make a choice on whether they go a little harder or not. There's guys that make a choice whether they defend a little better, rebound a little better. Those things are choices. Making shots is not a choice. Now, in making shots, I think it lifts all the other things, and that's what's encouraging. But I still think, you know, we got some guys. I think Rocket, you know, has been shooting better in practice. I think Joey Hauser still, you know, along with Malik Hall, those two guys, I think, can score more and make more shots. So the encouraging part is at least the ball movement led to better shots. It got Gabe some great shots. And, you know, Gabe was out for those, you know, almost a month. I mean, the 17 days, and then he came back and he struggled for a while. So getting him back, you know, if you had him at Iowa down there, could you have won a game? I mean, all those things are, you just think and dream about. So I'm not worried about anything else than, you know, just continue to figure out why we made more shots. And I think some of that was practice, but I think some of that was the ball movement and the fact that, you know, guys are kind of figuring out some things. Aaron is starting to really get in the paint, get 2-foot stops.
Josh made some great passes. It was the passing that, you know, and some guys didn't get assists like Rocket made. We call them hockey assists here. You know, they do that in hockey where you get an assist for the assist. Basketball, it's got to be the direct one. Rocket made some great assists to the assist that led to the basket. And that's sharing the ball, and that's kind of figuring out, understanding the game a little better, and I thought we got some of that.
For many years, you guys have been the hunted. Now you are apparently taking on the hunter role for the last 2 weeks. Will you use that? Will you use that tactical advantage?
I don't know. You know, I forgot what it's like to be the hunter role. You know, we've been pretty fortunate here over the years. We've been hunted more than we've been hunting. But, you know, I've been an underdog all my life. Let me tell you, those last couple of weeks, the way everything went, I felt like an underdog, way underdog, you know. And I don't know if I'm going to use any tactics other than, guys, we're capable of playing better than we have. We've had some things that have muddied things up. I said I had to do a better job on some things. Don't worry about any of those things. Let's try to max out on how we play in the effort-related things and on the intelligent-related things. And then that ball's going to go in the basket. And if it does, you're going to feel better about yourself. Your defense will get better, and that's where you go. And 56 points in the second half against a pretty good defensive team that had won 4 out of 6. You know, something to build on is not something to have a party over.
We'll go next to Audrey Dahlgren.
Hey, Tom, you mentioned the two ways that you could approach this week as an incredible opportunity versus the daunting task that lies ahead. And so as you do, how do you preface that, though, I guess, throughout the week to the players to look at it as, hey, this is an exciting time, or this should be an exciting approach to facing these teams that you're about to play?
Well, I think the beauty of it is, you know, we've played hellacious schedules over 20 years, and guys came here knowing you're going to play good teams. Believe it or not, there's been more than a couple years that we played more rated teams in the non-conference than we did in the conference in some of those years. But they always know, you know, George Perlis used to say they all count one, and they do, and that's coach speak. But you're playing a top five team or top four or three team. Human element comes in, and everybody knows it's more important. You as fans and media, players do. So I don't try to downplay that. I just try to say we're taking it one game at a time. And that is coach speak, but that is what everybody should do. You can't look ahead right now. Hell, I don't even know if we'll finish the season. You know, somebody else might get the COVID situation and cancel a couple more games. I mean, it's happening all over the country right now. So I said, as of today, we're playing Illinois tomorrow. Let's just worry about that game. And if we play better in that game, win or lose, we still have a chance to attain some things. If we can win a game like that, you know, those are the shot in the arm games that really, really, really make a difference.
And then as a quick follow-up, obviously you need Aaron in different areas, but what do you like about him sometimes when he is able to run the point? I mean, what does that bring to your offense? I know you have other guys that obviously need to play there, and he has his own role, but what does he provide in that sense?
Well, I didn't play him at the point very much. What I did is I put him in point guard situations and ball screens and that. When you play a player at the point, it is draining to play the point guard position. That's why 90% of the team's point guards aren't your leading scorers. Take Ayo, for example. He was playing the point his first 2 years. Now he's kind of off guard, and just gives him more freedom to do more things. He still has the ability and still does get into a lot of ball screens and things like that. I thought Aaron just played within himself. One thing we've been really working on is come to a 2-foot jump stop. Quit turning the ball over, taking bad shots. He did that numerous times. And I said, well, it's taken 2 3/4 years, Aaron, but the light bulb went on in that area, you know. And you know, players have to learn. There's a process to everybody. Everybody forgets. I kept thinking Ayo and Kofi were sophomores, but they're juniors too, you know. And there's a process to getting there. And those guys have done a great job. Garza's a senior, you know. We're just so embedded on everybody should be this way so early And especially when you go through a year like this, that, you know, I think it's still holding serve that the most experienced teams are the ones winning and that have the most juniors and seniors. And so I think putting Aaron in that role where he making decision, he's making better decision too, Audrey. He's making, he threw a couple great passes to the corner, got Josh an open shot, got Gabe an open shot, drove it, kicked it out. He's just playing more within himself. And I think that's the comfort level he's starting to feel.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Kyle Austin. Kyle?
Earth to Kyle. Come in, Kyle.
Looks like Kyle froze, so we'll jump ahead to Brendan Quinn.
I guess within the last week or so, you know, you had Garza, you had Travion Williams, you had Trace the other day, and now coming up you get Kofi. And I wonder how you're feeling about not only your interior defense, but also the rest of your defensibility to, you know, if you want to double and recover all these things that you're going to have to do, not only this game, but even what else you have coming up.
Well, just so that all you can understand how difficult it is sometimes, you know, Garza at Iowa, I don't know, I think had 30, 40 points. He might have set a North American record there. We had a shot to tie it with 20 seconds left. And Garza at our place had 8 points, and we were out of the game 20 seconds into it. So, you know, sometimes you pick your poisons on what you want to do if you're not real sound everywhere. We do think we have a couple things we're going to try. We got to do a better job. But even like Indiana, you know, at the end of the day, a two is worth 2 points, even in Philadelphia and the UP, and a three is worth 3 points. And, you know, sometimes you give up a two for a three, and sometimes you don't. You know, it just depends what that team does. But there are different reasons we do different things. And, you know, one thing I've been very disappointed with our posts is we're letting people get the ball way too deep. And some of it is strength. Some of it is experience. Some of it is, I don't think you've ever had a year that you've been covering, that I've been covering. I don't know who's the oldest on this thing. Fred Heumann or whoever. That's insulting, so take it. But I don't think we've ever had this many good big guys in this league ever.
All right, Tom Izzo giving thoughts on tonight's matchup against Illinois. And I did find it a bit surprising that Tom hasn't hammered home, you know, the conversation of what must happen in order for them to make the NCAA tournament. He's not putting pressure on his kids. He believes that they have gone through a lot already, and they've had, like, minimal discussion about it. But it's not something where Tom is like, hey, man, we got to do this, we got to do that to make the tournament. They're kind of just taking it literally one game at a time. So, next game up, Illinois tonight, going to be a tough one. Boy, if they pull this one off, my goodness, folks, it will be incredible. We've seen Izzo pull off the seemingly improbable before. We'll see, folks. But until next time, we are on a 23-hour break. Tomorrow, we are going to recap all things Illinois and Michigan State. I want you all to be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.